is the first of the Shleishis Yimei Hagbola today. Shleishis Yimei Hagbola, both in the times of the Midbar and really in our times, learning today a little bit of Chassidish Torah. Shleishis Yimei Hagbola is supposed to be the days that we're Metayer our Neshama before coming to Kabbalah Satara again. Shleishis Yimei Hagbola, the time of preparation for Chag HaShavuos, and that begins today. On my own personal calendar, so Shleishis Yimei Hagbola is two other things as well. The school, now the work program, my oldest son Yehuda is called Siach Sod. So every year they have a chashuv of maimed. We call it maimed Kabbalah Satara, where the fathers come and learn with their children during these 3 days, always one of the 3 days. It's unbelievable. You have a room, you have like a chasna hall in the building. Baruch Hashem, you know, they're very well decked out at the place over there, very well taken care of. And you have a couple hundred people sitting there learning. They give out kuntresim, you know, on the kids' levels. And it's an unbelievable thing. I always say, if you want to see a Simchas Beis HaShoeva where you don't see people dancing, where you see neshamas dancing, so you go to Siach Sod. And if you want to see a maimed of Kabbalah Satara where you don't see people learning, you just see neshamas learning, you go to this thing. Yaakov Hillel came to speak today. It was great. He said that in the cab, so he said, I need to go to Siach Sod. And the cab driver said, oh, Siach Sod, that's Mistama Yeshiva from Mekubalim, right? So he said, no, it's even higher than that. It's a time of neshama. And on that level, or closely related, another personal thing is the Shleishis Yimei Hagbola, aside from preparing for Kabbalah Satara, is my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha's Yahrzeit, who was Nifter on the first of Shleishis Yimei Hagbola. My father lately has been joking about his yichus, because my mother, for whatever reason, got very, very into researching her yichus and finding all the chashuv people that she comes from. My father said, yeah, my yichus. But it's my grandfather's Yahrzeit, and my grandfather was a very, very special person. He was my grandfather. He was a big Baal Chesed, despite the fact that he had no money, really no money. He had like zero negative money. But he did a tremendous amount of chesed, the shuls, the community, and last year we even found it in a book, a recently published art scroll book, and we didn't put it in. We found out about it afterwards. We knew the story. One of the famous yeshivas in Brooklyn, the Rosh Yeshiva was apparently acquainted with my grandfather. He wanted to start a yeshiva. He had this dream to start a yeshiva, but okay, what are you going to do? You have to get funds together. So my grandfather went around with him, pushed him, and went around with him, collecting dollars, moving this way, that way, and they started the yeshiva. He had no money. But despite the fact that he wasn't a gvir, and despite the fact that he wasn't a person who, you know, held very much of himself, a trait of a lot of members of the family, he did great things in his life because he had a tremendous heart. He had a big, big heart that he wanted to do. In other words, he had a neshama. So in Shleishis Yimei Hagbola, which is a time for Kabbalah Satara, which the Shlach HaKadosh says an unbelievable thing. The Shlach HaKadosh says, you want to know, how is it possible that we're all Mushba V'yayimei Mehar Sinai? We weren't there. How can you take a shvu without a bitui? The Shlach HaKadosh says is that we weren't there, but our neshamas were. And on a spiritual level, we're all mushba v'yayimei mehar Sinai. And it's a day of neshama because of the fact, sitting and learning with the neshama, and it's an aliyas neshama to my grandfather. So I wanted to put all that together and talk a little bit about the parsha and Kabbalah Satara. And also in Inyan, which is Emir al-Aperek, which I've been thinking a lot about lately. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'yoyol Moed. Hashem speaks to Moshe in the midbar, in the Yoyol Moed. Be'echad lachedesh Hasheni b'shana Hasheni, so it says from the Eretz Yisrael Lamor. It's the first day of Iyar in the second year. What did he tell him to do? Su'u es roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael mishpachaisam l'beis avaisam. Count everybody according to their families, according to their shvatim, b'mispar shemos kol zocher l'gulgulaisam. Count Klal Yisrael. Why now? Zok Rav Hirsch, because now the Mishkan is built. The Mishkan, the Ramban says it, many others say it as well. The Mishkan was basically a perpetuation of Har Sinai. It was a perpetuation of Kabbalah Satorah. It was the Torah in the midst of Klal Yisrael on a constant basis. And after you have this Mishkan, which was standing in the middle of the camp, every single individual needs to be accounted for. That's an important word, accounted for. Not just him, Al Shemaisam, by his name, L'mishpachaisam, according to his family, L'beis Avaisam, according to his Shvatim. Every person, Ba'asher Husham, who he is, has to be accounted for and find his own unique relationship, his own direction towards the Mishkan. And everybody has to be in his degel, with his family, in his proper place. Everybody has to be accounted for, and everybody has to find his relationship to the Mishkan. But on the other hand, even though everybody has to be accounted for, but we don't count people. If you count people, su'u es roish, if you count people, though, so then you get a magefa. Why don't we count people? It's a machshava that I always say over. I haven't researched it entirely, but is that we don't put numbers on people. When you quantify, when you numerify a person, what you're basically saying is that this guy is just, he's one finite human being, and that's it. He's 5'6", 5'9", 6'4", 6'10", or 7'3". It doesn't make a difference. But you're putting a number on him, and that's all he is. And a human being is so much more than that. A human being is an neshama. A human being is an olam mole. A human being is infinite. You can't put a number on him. See, he has to be accounted for. Every single person has to be accounted for, but we can't count, we can't quantify, we can't numerify. That we don't do. And that's the idea that we find in Chumash Bamidbar, beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, that when you have Torah, so everybody has to attach his neshama to the Torah in a different direction, with his own yachas, from his own family, from his own standing in life. In a similar type of way, and this is really the issue that I want to get to, we find a very interesting thing. If you think about it, you could say it's a very big stira. Two different mamari chazal about interpersonal relationships. On one hand, you have Shammai. Now, Shammai was not the person in Jewish history. Shammai is not the person who goes down as like being Mr. Smiley friendly, right? Shammai was the one who told the ger, you know, whatever it is, you just, you know, talk about it straight or get out of here. But what does Shammai say in Pirkei Avos? I say, Taroscha kva, you got to make your Torah kva, that we understand. Emor ma'atva say, harbe, don't talk too much and do a lot. V'havei mekabel as kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafas. When somebody comes to you, you have to greet him with a smile on your face. Don't be a grump. Don't walk around with a thundercloud over your head. When somebody comes, greet him with a smile in the morning. That's what Shammai says. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan was a charming, charismatic man. You would almost expect him to say it. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara in Ksubis, Ulaven Shinayim Mecholav, he darshans from that, Toiv Hamalbin Shinayim Lechaveroi, somebody who shows a person the white of his teeth, somebody who smiles at his friend, yoiser mimashkei ucholav, is better than giving him a drink of milk. Milk used to be a very exotic, almost very expensive drink. Now we go through about 400 bags a day, right? And now they're getting the cartons here in Israel too. Baruch Hashem, we're not going to be a third world country anymore. But if you smile at somebody, it's better to give, better than giving them a drink. It's better than giving them a pina colada or whatever other drink you want to come up with, right? Shenemar leven shinayim michalav al tikri leven shinayim al libun shinayim. So Rabbi Yechon says, smile at people, greet people happily. Shammai says the same thing. B'seva panim yafis. Smile. Make a nice face at people. Don't be a grump. Okay. Here's the stira. Going back a couple of parshias, we met this Nebuch called the Megadev. Who was the Megadev's mother? Shlomis Bas Divri. What does the Medrash Rabbah tell us about Shlomis Bas Divri? What was her downfall? Well, she was a prutza. Okay. But the problem is that Rashi says a very specific way. Shlomis. To have a pitpita shalom aloch, shalom aloch. She was always prattle, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem. Shalom aleichem. Mifat petes b'devarim she'eles b'shalom hakol. She would always ask everybody how they're doing. Bas divri dabronis oisa. Okay, she was a yenta. That's not so good. Medaberes and kol adam. That's even worse. Lefikach kilkala. Barashi puts the whole thing together. It's more mavur in the Medrash. Is at the beginning of this woman's downfall was the fact that she was nice to people. She was the ideal receptionist. How are you? Good morning. Smile at you. Talk to you. Whatever. Everything that you would expect. So what was the problem? She was a woman. Pashtus is a lot of the people that she was talking to were women also. Shalom aloch, shalom aloch, shalom aloch. So is it a mita grua? Or is it a mita taiva? And how do we put the two mamari chazal together? But I believe that if you read the words closely enough, you realize that it's not a stira at all. And it really comes from this vart we've been talking about. The difference between being counted and being accounted for. The difference between a person seeing himself as a guf, as a 6'4", 7'3", or as an neshama, which is one of the essential elements in Kabbalah Satara. And so we're the first year guys now for Musa Seder, going through Pirkei Avos. We did it last year during Summerzman also, Pirkei Avos during Musa Seder. And there's a very confusing Mishnah in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, which we're back to this week, if you're keeping count. One of the first year guys came over to me during Musa Seder. It's the only day we have Musa Seder is on Monday, so I guess that's the day that he got me. And he said, "You know, Rebbe, what do you do with this Mishnah? What's the Mishnah?" Shimon b'nai Omer kol yomai godalti bein hachachamim. All of my life, I grew up between the chachamim. V'loy matzasi leguf toiv ella shtika. I only found good for the body, shtika, which is shtika. The only good that I found for the body is being quiet. And the famous question that everybody asks is, what do you just say? Well, matzasi toiv ella shtika. The only good thing in the world, the true good, is being quiet. People think talking a lot is great, but be quiet. What's leguf toiv? There are various pshatim that you could say. People like to say shtik lach tara. I told them a story. The story happened to me most probably, I don't know, going back, I think it's a good 10 years ago. A shul that I used to say shiurim in Telstone. So we had the zechus to have davening with us on a regular basis. He was living in Telstone already. His son-in-law lives in Telstone, South African. Somebody with mamisha, you don't say that he's the Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. He's definitely in the top 3, 4, 5. Kavitz Aris on Yevamis, at least according to the family, was written by this person. His name was Reb Label Baron, Zevet Sadek Bekarz Lebracha. Massive, massive Talmud Chacham. When I knew him, he was close to 100, and then after 100, he lived until 102, and he wasn't Bekal Kaicha anymore. He didn't talk very much, but he still, you know, whatever, he still looked the part of, you know, of the chashivist of the chashiv. Beautiful, beautiful man with these, you know, with these piercing blue eyes. And you could see that even through the fog, he knew what was going on. I said a drasha on this Mishnah. I came up with my own supal on this. I treasured the comments. Every once in a while, he would say something to me. I don't forget. He said to me one time, it was like the greatest compliment, you know. You think you're saying over lumdas, or you're saying over something inspirational. He says, Yashikoyach, Yashikoyach, you made the people so happy. Oh, what a compliment. You made them so happy. But that day, so he said something else. He said, the Mishnah, and he didn't even explain anything. He said, Guf Toiv, Guf Toiv, Guf Toiv is Mechubedik. It's Mechubedik. Guf Toiv is Mechubedik. Okay, so he told me a Shir Klali in two words. Guf Toiv is Mechubedik, however many words. I'll tell you what I think that the Pshat is what he was saying. You have two types of Talmidim. There are two, three types of Talmidim. One type of Talmid is, you know, talks a lot, talks up in Shir. Then you have the quiet guys. You have the quiet guys who are quiet, you know, whatever, because, you know, they don't know what's going on, right? And then you have the quiet guys who, you know, that, okay, this guy has a lot what to say or whatever it is, but for whatever reason, you know, he's just keeping it inside. But then his eyes talk. His body is not talking, his mouth is not talking, but what is his eyes? And what's behind his eyes is neshama. The way matzasi l'guf toiv means is that I'm not going to cheapen myself by talking so much. I'll sit in my place like an intelligent person, absorbing, doing, acting the part, and that's the very definition of being a mechubedik person. What's the difference between a shlemis bas divri and being makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafes? You take a look at the lashon of Rashi. Rashi doesn't just say that she was makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafes, saying shalom alecha. Havi mitpat peset, mitpatet petes, pitpita, shalom alach, shalom alach, shalom alach. There are people who try to win favors. There are people who need to talk in order to score points, in order to make sure that people know that they're there, in order for people to know, listen, this person's guf is talking. Their presence. That's not what you want. You don't want to make so much noise. And you don't want to win friends. And you don't want to talk because of the fact that you have to be seen. But on the other hand, when you greet somebody, so to give him a proper shalom aleichem, to show him your teeth, to show him a smile with your mouth and with your eyes, to be makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafes, and to let your neshama shine out at him so that you make him feel good, that's something that everybody should aspire to. But one is a projection of the guf, and the other is a projection of my pnimius, that I want to warm you. I want to touch you with my personality in a proper way, in a good way, to be mechazik. And that's the difference between the two types of Shela Shalom, the two types of being makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafes. One is a shalom of the mouth, of the guf, and the other is a shalom of the neshama. I'll say one more thing about Le'ilui Nishmas having to do with Neshama. And my grandfather's grandfather, go back another two generations, my parents made this book now, getting very into ancestry. My grandfather was Shlomo ben Nachum Mendel Zichrono Livracha. His grandfather, his name was Label, was late Reb Lazer Sinowitz. Take a look at a picture of him, you know, whatever. An old European Jew with like a proper beard, you know. And he left family was from Pinsk. They came over to America. And, you know, they tell you about the struggles everybody had with Shabbos, and, you know, people left jobs and got thrown out every week, and etc. and so forth. This Reb Lazer Sinowitz, though, I heard a story about him that I seldom hear about anybody. You always hear about the guy who was Meiser Nefesh. He lost his job every Shabbos, and he still kept on keeping Shabbos, and, you know, whatever. It's because of him that the family is Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs today. What happened with my great-great-great-grandfather? He came to America with the family, probably got thrown out of two or three jobs. He said, this place is no good. V'loyli day misayin. We dive in every day in Shemona Esrei. He got back on the boat and he went back to Europe. And he died there. America is good for your goof. Land of milk and honey. You can make a lot of money in America. Tough. The rest of the family, they opened up stores. This, that, and the other thing, butchers, things that you could do on Shabbos. Okay, they kept a heat. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it here. Got back on the boat, and he went back to Europe where he came from. That's called exalting the neshama over the goof. That's what we're all here for. Kabbalah Satera was a shvua. It was an oath, and it was a bris. And the famous kasha of the Rishain, and everybody in the world asks it, is that you go through Nidarim, you go through Shavuos, there's a concept of being Mushba V'Yemed Mehar Sinai. So how can I be Mushba V'Yemed Mehar Sinai if I wasn't even there? There was no bitui, I didn't talk. No pivvali by Shavim, because there's no pet. There's no pitpita. So the Ramban in Mishpat Acherim gives the teretz that the tzibur can be mechayev those who didn't yet enter the tzibur. Right? Tomo can be mechayev the guys who come next year, the year after that. Because the tzibur has no past, present, or future. It's an entity which goes beyond the individuals. That's on a very halachic level. There are other rishonim, Shlach HaKadosh goes to length talking about the concept. There's a different type of shvu here altogether. And Chazal say that all the neshamas were at Har Sinai, and all the neshamas were mushba v'yemei mei Har Sinai. So does that mean that they have a halachic shvuah with a bitui peh, however it works? Okay, go take a look at it yourself, and there's a lot of other ma'amakimas too. But you see one thing, is that our Kabbalah Satera, our individual Kabbalah Satera, as Yechidim, not as the klal, because the klal is one klal, but as Yechidim, each and every neshama had an indelible impression that was made on it at Har Sinai. We were transformed and we were changed forever. Up until then, 7 mitzvahs. Afterwards, we became Jews. 613 mitzvahs. Our neshama is different. We become different people. Everybody should have a fantastic Shabbos. And then Chag HaShavuos, it should be a day of Limud HaTorah and a day of transforming ourselves, transforming our neshamas, so that next time you smile at somebody, so it's not going to be a pitput, it's not going to be a smile of the goof, a smile from deep inside that comes from true happiness, true Simcha HaTorah, true Simcha Dvekas Peshchina, and that comes from your soul, it comes from your neshama, from deep down inside. We should all be Zeichah.